The ESPN videotape library, it's in this warehouse, and it's a couple of miles from the main ESPN campus. It's so vast, there's no room for it on the main campus anymore. It is the largest sports tape library, repository, reliquary anywhere in the world.
Jeremy Schapp is an ESPN reporter and the host of E60.
If you remember the scene at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it's supposed to be like the National Archives, and it just keeps moving out and showing you the vastness of the warehouse. It's like that, except for sports games. Everything is in there. Just about everything you could possibly imagine that has taken place in sports in the last 40 years. But what we really wanted, which holds this very special place in the history of the network, wasn't there.
ESPN broadcast its first game 40 years ago. It was a key moment in the history of sports. But when our Jeremy Schapp set out to find the tape, it was missing. Today, a mystery that went unsolved for decades. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Tuesday, December 31st. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Dell Small Business.
The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Jeremy, you've worked at this company for quite some time now. Did you always know what the first game was that was ever broadcast by ESPN?
I think it would be dishonest to say that back in 1993, when I was a mere child and I was hired, that I knew back then. But I think over the years, it's one of those things that you acquire in terms of your knowledge of the company, the history of the company. At some point, I learned it was a professional softball game, but I don't remember precisely when, and I didn't know the details of the game. But yeah, a softball game, of course. What else would you start with?
September 7th, 1979, the day that ESPN went live. What was the network like back then?
Although I have been around for a while, Mina, I haven't been around quite that long, but secondhand, I've learned ESPN on its first day was a bunch of production trucks in a parking lot, essentially, that had not been paved in Bristol, Connecticut. It was truly in its infancy. The concept was only about a year old. And in a short amount of time, they had gone from concept to funding to a network going on the air that would be seen across the country.
Hi, I'm Lee Leonard, welcoming you to Bristol, Connecticut, 110 miles from New York City. Why Bristol? Because here in Bristol is where all the sports action is as of right now. And we're just minutes away.
They didn't have NFL rights, and they didn't have Major League Baseball rights, and they didn't have rights to Grand Slams. They didn't have rights to anything that most people would want to actually watch. So they had to improvise.
Is that how we ended up with softball on the first day?
That's how we ended up with softball. It's the very first live event on ESPN. I think it was an hour after going on the air period with the very first version and edition of SportsCenter.
Softball is one of those rare sports that everybody knows something about. Why? Because we all play it on Sunday when we drink a little beer.
the guy who runs PR for this professional softball league in the Midwest, he reads about the launch of this new network, and the brother of one of ESPN's original anchors, the brother of George Grand, he's one of the team owners of the team in New Haven, which is only like 30 miles from Bristol, Connecticut. So it's kind of a natural fit. It's almost fate, destiny, that this softball league would be featured as the first event ever on ESPN. They came up with an agreement that they would broadcast not just this game, but the entirety of the World Series that year. Not the baseball World Series, which would be the Orioles versus the Pirates, but the softball World Series.
So you decide to do a piece on this very first game, game one of the 1979 World Series of Professional American Slow Pitch Softball, naturally. What happens when you go to our archives and you ask for it?
If you were to go to this vast reliquary repository and you asked for the first event that ever took place on ESPN, you would be met with disappointment because it was simply not in the library at ESPN. ESPN, which saves everything now, literally anything that's taking place on TV anywhere in the world in sports, they roll on and they save in this library. But if you wanted to find that game, the game that started it all, they didn't have it. It had been lost to the ages through the sands of time. And it was particularly a disappointment and a source of embarrassment for the man who's run the library for decades.
Who is that?
Ken Boudreau.
I'm Ken Boudreau. I'm one of eight employees that are left here that started in 1979. Currently, I am senior director in production operations.
Ken Boudreau, the emperor, the grand poobah of the videotape library, the man who knows where all the tapes are buried, where every show is archived, probably the only person in the world who can find almost instantaneously whatever you need in that library. Ken hated to admit, because he considered it almost a personal failing, that the tape wasn't in the library and we had no record of it.
We have no idea where they are.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I was not working in the tape library. I was a technician running master control.
Well, that's convenient.
So you go to the library. Ken Boudreau tells you, we don't have it. What do you guys do next?
It's kind of a two-prong process because we want to tell the story of the game itself, what it was, who was playing in it, what the stakes were, and at the same time, the story of its place in history at ESPN and its absence from the library. So we go in pursuit of this very important and consequential story. And that means pursuing all leads, even if they seem that they might lead nowhere, following the money. There really wasn't any money, but you know what I mean. And going to Milwaukee, which is where this game took place and which was the home of one of the two teams playing this game, the Milwaukee Schlitz, obviously, who were playing the Kentucky Bourbons, who are from Louisville. So we went to Milwaukee. We found as many players as we could, the manager of the team and the owner of the team, perhaps most crucially.
So you track down the owner of the Milwaukee Schlitz softball team, a man named John Kornick. Clues did he have about the missing tapes?
Simon Baumgart, our producer, he calls John Kornick to set up an interview with him. He's still living in Milwaukee. He's no longer in the softball team ownership business, but he's still out there. And he has a lot of memorabilia. We want to interview him. And almost as an aside, Simon mentions, we don't have these tapes. And Kornick says, well, I got them. And it's one of those eureka moments. I mean, it's not like finding an original copy of the Declaration of Independence or something like that. But for our purposes, and at that time, it felt like we had struck video gold.
Why did he have them in the first place?
Kornick had these tapes because in 1979, as the holiday season rolled around, he wanted to give his players a keepsake from this World Series.
I called up ESPN and I told them that I wanted the ESPN tapes.
When is this?
This was probably a month after the World Series. They did send me the tapes, but they charged me $750.
He calls ESPN. He says, I'm the owner of the Milwaukee Schlitz. I want copies of all the games of the World Series. And whoever's in the videotape library said, okay, we'll dub these off for you. And it's $750.
I've had them in a special safe down in the basement where I keep them locked up. I don't want anybody touching. No. I mean, in a closet. No, they're in a closet.
40 years these tapes have been sitting in John Cornick's basement, unwatched, unloved, unarchived. This precious gem that had been ignored.
Coming up, for the first time in 40 years, ESPN gets a look at the broadcast that started it all.
Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT, the most trusted name in security. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. ADT has HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, fire and carbon monoxide detectors, all connected to 24/7 monitoring and controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. So help protect your home today with ADT. Learn more at ADT.com/podcast.
So we're going to head down to the archives, John?
That's it. Here's where we keep them stored, right in here.
Just take a moment, out of respect. These are the tapes.
These are the tapes.
This is the whole series?
Yeah.
Wow.
Game one, number one.
This is where it all started.
That's where it started.
The first event ever on ESPN, the first tape from the first event.
It's like new.
This is history.
Did he just hand them over?
It was a more complicated process. Ultimately, it was resolved to everyone's satisfaction and to the benefit of John's bank account.
So, Jeremy, you get the tapes. Mission accomplished. You bring them back to Bristol. No one has seen the footage for 40 years. What does it show?
Well, this was not a highly sophisticated operation.
Good evening to you, everyone. From Jake's Field in Lannan, Wisconsin, I'm Joe Boyle, along with former New York Yankee star John Blanchard, set to bring you all of the action of tonight's American Slow Pitch Professional Softball League World Series.
This was not a place where they should have been showing a nighttime softball game. I mean, they brought in lights at the last minute. They barely did the job. It's basically a municipal park softball field in the Milwaukee suburbs with no real stands, no real lights. There's nothing professional looking about it except the players, who were awesome softball players. But it looks like what you might expect on the first night in the first hour of the history of a startup TV network.
The game itself, a clash of the Titans, the Milwaukee Schlitz,
yes,
the Kentucky Bourbons. Were these two teams big rivals?
These teams hated each other. That's completely genuine. Talking to these guys even 40 years later, it was clear that they really did not like each other at all on a personal level. It wasn't just friendly rivalry. They resented each other. My sense was, I'm a Schlitz guy. I was always a Schlitz fan in this rivalry. The Schlitz were kind of the working class Milwaukee. I mean, what softball's supposed to be about, right? It's guys who did this because of their love of the sport, because it represented an opportunity to go have some beers with their buddies. And it was about beer. I mean, bourbon and softball, to me, frankly, I know the guys in Kentucky aren't going to like this, doesn't mix the same way. It suggests something else. And these guys kind of fashioned themselves as kind of bluegrass bourbon royalty. Like, they were the real kings of softball, and the Schlitz guys were some kind of pretenders.
This was the Slow Pitch Softball World Series. How seriously did they take it?
Oh, these guys, this is deadly serious. So the star of the Kentucky Bourbons, kind of their Babe Ruth and their big personality, was this guy, Bill Gotti. And he was one of the big studs in the sport at the time on a national level. And this sport meant so much to him. This rivalry meant so much to him. This championship meant so much to him. He approached this with true seriousness and commitment to an extent that surprised us.
I took every game seriously. I prepared myself. I got the right kind of sleep. My wife, she'd be beating on my chest, wanting to have sex. And I said, I got to play ball. I got to play ball later today. That's how intense I was.
This was professional, right? It's in the title of the series. This was professional. These guys were getting paid big money for the time. They took, I wouldn't say inordinate, I would say an inordinate amount of pride in this. These guys, their lives revolved around softball and this rivalry. And the fact that it was on national television, albeit available in about 20,000 homes or 30,000 homes that first night, I think raised the stakes for everyone involved.
Milwaukee's about to take the field.
Rick Wiederman, who was to the Schlitz what Bill Gotti was to the bourbon. He was one of their best hitters. He was their star pitcher. And Rick Wiederman goes down in history. I mean, maybe this isn't quite, you know, the equivalent of Roger Bannister or something like that, you know, running the first 4-minute mile, but he does go down in history, Rick Wiederman.
Rick, you personally occupy a very special place in television history.
We're underway with the first pitch of the game. It's a call strike.
Your first pitch in game one is the first athletic thing anyone ever did on ESPN.
Now that you say it that way, I go, wow, look what I started.
First athletic thing is an excellent qualifier. Should put that on a plaque. So what happened in the game?
Kentucky Bourbons won the first game ever on ESPN, this first event. The Milwaukee Schlitz lost, but the Bourbons go down in history. You got to give them credit. They won the first event in the history of ESPN. They'll always have that.
But then went on to lose the rest of the series.
Tries to go up the middle. Weiderman cuts that off. Throws to first for the out on Whitlock. Throw to third. Dave Whitlock is out, trying to go to third. And Milwaukee out in the middle of the diamond right now. A very happy group of softball players. They have won the world championship of the American Professional Slow Pitch Softball League.
As a Schlitz guy, I'm sure you were thrilled.
As a Schlitz guy, I take inordinate pride in that fact.
So ultimately, whatever happened to the tape, did they get it back in the library?
The tapes were restored to their rightful place in the VTL, the videotape library on North Campus in Bristol, Connecticut. And for me, frankly, it was an emotional moment, but it was really, I think, Ken Boudreau, our librarian. For him, it was the culmination, the crowning achievement of his career, really. I know I'm being a little facetious here and over the top, but I think genuinely it meant something to the network to get him back because we do care about our history and we celebrate our history at ESPN. This is our kind of declaration of independence, our Magna Carta. What else? What else could I throw out there? It's big.
Thanks, Jeremy. I'll see you in the reliquary.
Thank you, Mina.
That's the only story I want you to know today, but we do have a postscript. Ken Boudreau, the so-called emperor of the library, retired in December after 40 years in charge of ESPN's videotape archive. I'm Mina Kimes. This has been ESPN Daily, and that's it for 2019. I'll talk to you next year.